Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and you're at the Right Now Mastermind class for May 2012. I'm delighted to welcome Harold Epley to our class today. He has worked as a religious professional in a variety of capacities for 23 years in cities, suburbs, and very small towns, including 4 years as a pastor in the Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania, where his new novel, Ash Wednesday, is set. Together, he and I have written 7 nonfiction books, and Ash Wednesday was released in February, and the excitement continues. Welcome, Harold.
Thank you.
You're with us.
Good to be here.
So, I guess I want to start by, you know, kind of asking you why you wrote this book. Did you set out to write a funny novel? What was the kind of inciting incident in your life that made you put this?
Yeah, it's been a long, long process, and I tell people actually that this novel began as a short story. I did not sit down one day and say, "Oh, I'm going to write a novel." And basically, I had an idea for a story. I had a couple characters in mind, sort of a conflict that needed to be resolved. And I just sat down one day and kind of started writing it, and it kept going. It was a week passed, and I'd probably written about 20 pages, and kept going. And I started to go back and read it, and actually found that a lot of it was quite funny. I hadn't set out to write a comedic book at all. And then I guess I reached a point where I kept adding new characters and new scenes, and it was probably a few months into writing the short story that was never going to end, that I realized I was writing a novel. And I remember just having that insight and thinking, well, now what do I do with it? I've got these characters and these situations that aren't really going anywhere. And so then I sort of revised the whole way of looking at what I was doing. I remember shortly after I had decided I was writing a novel, I told another writing partner about it, and she asked me, well, you know, how many chapters have you written so far? And I realized I hadn't written any chapters. I had about 50 pages, but no chapters. I had been writing scenes. I had been writing about certain characters. You know, I definitely had a strong sense of place. It's set in the Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania, where we lived for a number of years, so I knew the place I was writing about. There were some conflicts developing between the characters. Some of them I found quite interesting, but I didn't have any chapters. So I went back and started thinking about some structure to the novel and where certain things should go, and started developing some chapters and a sequence. And then I had more of a sense where this story was going, though I continued to write it not really knowing how it would end, how a number of the conflicts would be resolved. But as I wrote, it kept being funny. I would go back and look at it and actually laugh out loud myself and think, did I just write that? Because I'm not that funny of a guy. But it was becoming something sort of outside myself. The characters were becoming their own people. I wasn't like I was making up things about them. They were sort of doing what they would do, and I had sort of kind of listened to where they were going and figure that out. But so yeah, so it was a very long process.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I mean, before we talk more about your process, and I hear more about your process for writing the book and getting a publisher, give us a little synopsis. Like, if you were to tell us in a couple of sentences what this book is about.
Right. It's set in this fictional town, Dustin, Pennsylvania, which is an old coal mining town that is meeting its demise. It's seen better days. And in that town, there is a church, Abiding Truth, a Lutheran church, and there are three main characters in the novel, and the points of view switch between them. for various chapters. But the first is this pastor, Gerald Schwartz, who is troubled because he was recently divorced. His parishioners are plotting to get rid of him because he hasn't been very effective. They've been losing lots of members. He has a drinking problem, and that contributes to a lot of it. The second character is a woman named Betty Mundy, and she's the church secretary at Abiding Truth. And she's kind of a very simple person who loves the church, loves God, but she has recently learned that her son is gay. And as a conservative person living in a small town, she's very concerned, first of all, what are other people going to think when they find this news out? And this is a town where there are no secrets. And then needing to come to terms with it in her own life and with her own religious beliefs. And then to kind of make things interesting, there's this third character, who's Pastor Alan Weiss. And he really serves as a foil to the other pastor, Gerald, because while Gerald is quite traditional and conservative, Alan is one of these pastors that will try anything new to get in the members. And he's done some controversial things in turning his church into a mega church. He's changed the sacrament of the Holy Communion into an all-you-can-eat communion brunch buffet. He's also changed the name of the church. It's now called New Creation. He takes the word Lutheran and church out of it. And so those two characters are battling throughout the book, but Alan has some sexual problems, an adultery problem, and that is the source of most of his conflicts. So these three characters come together. There are a lot of plot twists, and in the end, they all kind of come together in a climactic moment where they all depend on one another.
So wow.
That's a little blurb there.
That's great. So So I know that you mentioned that you didn't start out thinking this was a novel. I'm curious, as you started kind of getting into this as a novel and developing your writing habit, what was your process for writing the book? You know, I'm the queen of writing books in 26 days. Did you do it in 26 days, or did you take
no,
a year?
Not exactly.
And how did you do it?
And I did it in bits and pieces, so it wasn't like I was working on it continuously, but it did take me about 3 years from start to finish, and then it still wasn't really finished because I was constantly revising it. So, yes, I definitely not a graduate of the write-a-thon approach to writing. I guess I'm your foil. I'm the spotting one. But that's how I work. I don't recommend it for everybody. Maybe I don't recommend it for anybody. It sometimes was frustrating. But I'm not a daily writer. But I do think in blocks of time. And as I really got into writing this novel, I would think in terms of weeks, a block block of time. So I might not write every day that week, but I would want to complete a certain amount of writing by the end of the week. And I had very modest goals, 2,000-3,000 words a week, and I would be happy with that. And that's, of course, why it took me 3 years to complete it. But I discovered I had better times in the day to write. For me, late morning and late afternoon, for whatever reason, are the times when I'm the sharpest and able to focus the most, so I carved out those times. The other thing that was interesting in the process of writing the book is I can't sit down and just write for a long period of time. I mean, first of all, my back starts to hurt and I get uncomfortable and I want to get up and walk around. So I developed a process really where I would, I'd write for an hour or so and then I'd get up, sometimes go outside and take a walk, especially when I was stuck. I found that exercising helped me to think, for whatever reason, kind of balancing out that sitting down time. So I did a lot of that. And I admit along the way, in those 3 years, I was distracted by a lot of other things, work, family, projects I was working on. So as I said, it wasn't something I devoted every day to. But as as it developed, I reached a point where I knew I really wanted to finish it. I had to finish it. I put all this time into it. I wouldn't be satisfied. I had this incomplete novel. So I believe I started in 2004 in the summertime, and then I had set a goal of finishing it by the end of 2006. I didn't meet that goal. I disappointed myself many times. Many times, even though the weekly goals I didn't meet. But I think the key for me was I never gave up. I didn't get frustrated by my failures. And for whatever reason, I got back at it, revised my goals, learned to be forgiving of myself, patient with myself, and just got back at it, yeah.
So I guess, you bring up an important point that, it's not like with a professional writer, and you've written a lot of books, that it's necessarily easier. You still experience obstacles and barriers to finishing. So I'm curious about what helped you keep writing when the writing was difficult. And when you weren't meeting your goals and, all that. What kept you kind of moving forward with this book?
Yeah, I'd like to say I reached sort of a tipping point with the book, and that is, I've started a lot of projects that I've never finished. I think every writer has. We always have a bunch that we're working on. But I've reached a point where I knew I had to finish this. And I didn't care how long it took. I was going to do it. All the while, still not really knowing where the story was going. There were times I have a tendency to go back and want to edit things, especially when I'm having some trouble moving forward. I would do that sometimes, and I would just have to get myself out of that mode and just say, you got to plow forward. You got to put something down on paper. You got to, even if it's not right, and kind of get out of that perfectionist mode. But I also like to say it was just bullheaded determination to finish this book. I would imagine it as a finished product, still not knowing exactly, where it was going. I imagine my friends reading it. Imagine handing it to my mother and saying, "Mom, I wrote a novel. Here it is." And kind of having that vision, that helped me. And the other thing was I just, as I said before, I take a lot of walks. When I got stuck, I try to immerse myself in the world of my characters. And I'd reached that point where I could start writing again.
Wow. So once you finished the book, how much editing did you have to do to make it, a sellable novel? And I'm trying to think. It seems like the book's about 80,000 words. Is that right?
It is currently, yes.
And so what was it at the beginning, and how much editing did you do to get it to that point?
Yeah. Again, this was a long process. I guess I'm telling you how to write and publish a book in 7 years or less. This is definitely the slow way. Did a lot of editing. When I finally got the book, the novel completed, my first draft was over 120,000 words long, and I knew that was too long for a first novel to sell. I had read somewhere you want it between 80,000 and 120,000, with 120 being really the max, but more often I would hear around 100,000 would be what they would be looking for. The thing with a first novel, nobody knows who I am, so it's not like I'm a big name that somebody's just going to go looking for my books and pick them off the shelf. So the thing I had heard about a first novel is you don't want to be too long and you don't want to be too short. People, they see it's like a 500-page book, they're less likely to buy it thinking, oh, I'll never get through all of that, and I don't even know who this person is or if it's good. But on the other end, if it was too short, then people would feel like they were getting ripped off, whatever price they're paying for the book. So there's that kind of range in there. And so I was playing with that. The thing was, I looked at my draft of 120,000 words, and I was absolutely sure I couldn't remove anything from it. It was exactly the length it needed to be. And that is one of the big lessons I learned in writing this novel, was I could cut things and not ruin the story. I ended up, the 80,000 words that it is now, that's a difference of 40,000 words. Very little in the plot ended up changing. Just maybe a few pieces I took out. But there was a lot of other stuff in there that, you know, it's a much faster paced book now than it was. And I think that's why I eventually sold it. But it was a process. I got it down to 115,000 words. I think it was at about 108,000 when I started querying agents. That's where I felt like it was in the right range. But again, this took me, you know, some months to do this. Really, then the thing is, it was a novel where all the pieces fit together, and so everything in it was there for a reason. So when I would take some words out, I'd have to go back and say, well, is this affecting something earlier on or whatever? I had to continue to have the flow of the story so that it made sense. So that was my biggest challenge, I think, in editing it. But
wow.
The result is I've got 40,000 words that I never used. So maybe they'll go into the next book. I don't know.
That's cool. So you talked about an agent. How did you go about finding a publisher for this book?
Yeah, and now this is the next long part of the story. I got to a point where I felt I could start querying agents. And what I did, actually, before I did that was I wrote a synopsis of the novel, because I had heard a lot of agents want that. But as I would research the agents, some would want a very brief synopsis of one page, some would want a 5-page synopsis, some would want a 10-page synopsis. So I ended up writing about 4 or 5 of these, and the synopsis just tells the story of what your novel is about. Then, of course, I needed as perfect of a query letter as I could write, because that's what, you know, you've got agents looking at, you know, hundreds of queries every day, and, you know, and you maybe got their attention for 5 to 10 seconds. So, the first sentence of that query letter had to really be something that would want them to keep reading on. So I spent some time perfecting that. Also realized that, and again, every agent is different. Some just want a query letter. Some wanted a synopsis with the query. Some wanted to actually see the writing, and so they would usually request a first chapter or maybe the first 3 chapters. So I knew those had to be really sharp, too. Even now, I think the first chapter is probably the best written in the book, just because I knew that's where you got to hook people right away. I did a lot of research on finding an agent, realizing that agents have specialties. And my book, it was hard to categorize it. I called it literary fiction because it didn't really, it's not a genre. It doesn't fit any of the traditional genres. But when you say literary fiction, that can mean different things to different people. Some, you know, think of it as really a very intellectual type of book. By literary fiction, what I meant was that it wasn't, it was a character-driven novel, more so than a plot-driven novel. And also then that it didn't really fit any traditional categories. So then I needed to look for agents that specialized in literary fiction. I use primarily the Writer's Market Guide to Agents, and then also online a very good source is agentquery.com, and that's pretty up to date with telling you what agents are looking for. But the process, I would say it took me well over a year and a half to find
an
agent. I queried well over 100 agents. And this was after doing research on I didn't just blindly send out my query letter to anybody. I had some close calls. I can say this, I never got any bad feedback from any of the agents. Nobody said this just stinks or anything like that. Most of them were just like form letters and would say, well, you know, sorry, can't, not interested. But a number of them would give me comments, and those were very helpful. I remember I got a very personal note from a big respected agency that I had really hoped would take it on. And they said they loved my novel. They thought it had a lot of potential. They couldn't currently take me on. And then they said, we're sure, you know, don't worry, you'll find somebody to represent this novel. I can't tell you how many times I went back and looked at that note when I was getting discouraged. So I had a few of those that kept me going. I did eventually get an agent then, after about a year and a half. And she was real excited about the book. Said one of the qualities of it was that it was very unique, that there was nothing like this out there. But she did warn me then. She said, the whole market is, the whole publishing industry is changing. And this was probably about 3 years ago when she said this to me. And, of course, we're right in the midst of the recession then. And, indeed, the everything was changing. A lot of the big-time New York City publishing houses were cutting back in how many titles they were publishing. They were becoming reluctant to take on first-time unknown authors because sales were so important. And, better to go with somebody they know was going to sell 500,000 books or whatever. So she warned me. She said, I would have had a much easier time selling your book as a first-time author, 3-4 years ago. But she felt confident that she could sell it. And the purpose for me in having an agent was, to get it into the hands of the big publishers, mostly based in New York City, the ones who sort of control the larger share of the market. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that after over a year, he only got one publisher to even look at it. And I was quite discouraged by that. My agent and I then amiably parted ways. She apologized profusely and said, this is a great book. I feel bad that I couldn't sell it for you, but I really don't think I can do anything. And she suggested I look for another agent, which at that point I did. Since it took me a year and a half to find the first one, I tried a few, but I really realized that it would take much too long, and that's what I was looking. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, what did you do? Why? Obviously, you didn't give up. You got a publisher, but how did you then go about doing the impossible, getting a publisher without an agent?
Yeah. There are a number of presses out there, the smaller independent presses, that will look at your book without an agent. And there are actually quite a number of those out there. And this is good news for us first-time novelists, because I think most of us are, that's where we're end up having our books published. I found some great resources. There's a writer's market guide that was helpful. But also I did most of my research online. Duotrope.com is excellent resource for, they do everything from flash fiction up to a full-length novel. So if you're trying to sell something to a literary magazine or a publishing house, they'll give you all the scoop on what they're taking, when they're accepting stuff. So I was constantly poring over that website. Newpages.com was another one that listed a lot of independent presses that would take a look at an unedited novel. Poets and Writers also has a site that I referenced. So at this point I said, it's not going to be it's not going to be bought by a big New York City publisher, so I'm not going to be on the bestseller list. And I didn't really think that would happen anyways. It was just sort of a shot in the dark. But I was determined to get this book published, and I didn't want to go the self-publishing route. I wanted to do it in a traditional royalty-paying situation. I was actually, frankly, surprised at how many smaller independent presses are out there, and also at how many are starting up right now. And this is sort of the other side of how the publishing industry has changed over the last few years. You know, with new technology, most everybody's got a computer. You can start up a publishing house, and a lot of them are emerging now. A lot of them with kind of niche publishing. But every day I look at Duotrope, and they'd have a new listing for a new publisher coming out, and I thought those might be my best bet, just because they wouldn't be as established. And the thing is, you know, there's a lot of writers out there, a lot of people who want to get their books published. So there's a lot of, you might not be competing directly. Your book might not be like their books, but you're just competing for the attention of the agents and the publishers, because, you know, they got hundreds of these rolling in every day. You know, how do you get their attention? How do you say, hey, look at me? So that was the struggle I was up against. It took me 10 months. So I found my publisher, and interestingly, I found it. It's Oconee Spirit Press, and it's a publishing house that just began in 2010. I found it. I joined a group called SPAWN, S-P-A-W-N, and that stands for Small Publishers, Artists, and Writers Network. That's a great resource. They put out a newsletter every month that lists markets, and a lot of the ones that they list are not ones I've seen other places. And that was where I found Oconee Spirit Press, and it sounded like they might publish the kind of book I had. Clearly they weren't out looking for manuscripts, because they weren't listed in most of the places. And when I researched them, I saw, well, they'd only put out 4 books so far. I thought it was a shot in the dark, because, you know, if they'd only published 4 books, what were the chances that they would publish another one that would be mine? It was amazing what happened. I sent a query via email, and I heard back from them within 3 or 4 days, which is very rare. Often, you never hear back. Sometimes it takes months. You know, One publisher took them a year to get back to me, you know, long after I'd given up on them. But they were, within 3 or 4 days, they asked to see the first 3 chapters. And they said, well, you know, we're not sure about literary fiction, but we'll take a look at it. Sounds interesting. And a couple weeks later, they said, well, send us the whole thing. We're not sure, but it's looking interesting. And it was another couple of weeks, and this was all done via email. They offered me a contract. I was just floored. And that this took just a month after all these years. It's like when it happens, it happens. And they were just, you know, they loved my novel. They were so excited about it. And now I'm really discovering the benefits of having a small independent publisher.
And so, I want to get to those in a minute. First of all, about how many publishers did you query the course of that year?
Probably about 30, I would say. And again, you know, I knew I was getting close. I was getting some good rejections. And usually it would be along the lines of, you know, that we like this, but we only publish a certain number of titles per year. You know, we only publish 6 per year, and so we just don't have room for it on our list. But getting close was encouraging me, and I got to the point there where I said I got to keep trying, and I don't know where I'm gonna succeed, but if I keep on at it, it's gonna happen. And sure enough, it did.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point to remember is that, you know, when you add up the rejections from agents and the rejections from publishers, you know, it's well over 130. Mm-hmm. And you kept going. You know, you still had that belief, you know. So I think I often say that the biggest thing that separates most writers from success is persistence, because it's so easy to give up after 10, they
yeah.
know.
Yep. I'm an example of that. I wholeheartedly agree. It was persistence that got it.
Yeah. So I want to go back to that experience you've had working with a small publisher. What are some of the benefits, or what's the experience been like, and why do you think this is a good way to go?
Yeah. Okay. It's not a big corporation you're dealing with. You're dealing with some real people. Now, this year they were putting out, I think, 6 or 7 books, but that's not a huge list compared to the big publishers. So they can give you a lot of attention. It's so good. I write an email to my editor, and 10 minutes later she writes back to me. And though we've never met face-to-face, we feel like we've got this relationship. The enthusiasm they had about my book was you know, just so flattering. It felt so good to know somebody is excited about this, and they'll admit that the finances that they have for marketing are very limited, and so they said, well, so we'll be very creative, and they've enlisted my help with that. Any ideas I've had for marketing, they've listened to. As far as the book itself, I had so much control over its content. The editing process was so easy, and of course at this point this book had been revised by me so many times that it was really in good shape, so that helped. But before they approved the final cover, I got to look at that, suggest any changes that I wanted, got to look over everything before in the book before it went to press. I feel respected. I feel like I'm heard. I feel like it's my book, and yet it's been published in a traditional manner. I'll receive royalties for it, and I'm excited about this press because they're putting out some other really good books, and you have a little hesitancy when it's just started up. Are they going to last? What if they go belly up? What'll happen to my novel? But that's not the case at all. It's there's some very smart people who are writers themselves or who've been in the book business before, who just their feeling was the big New York City publishers are missing a lot of good books that are out there, and by people like myself, first time novelists, and they said maybe we won't sell a lot of books at first, but we're in it for the long haul, and so your book will be in print as long as you want it to be, and as long as we work together. So they have a different philosophy, and it's a philosophy that really I think fits my thinking more. That I want this, I don't want the book to come out and then not sell and go out of print within a few months, which does happen a lot. With big New York City publishers, but realizing that because people don't know who I am, it's going to take a little while for this book to catch on. But I'm seeing it happening already after 3 months.
No, that's good. So what did you learn from this experience of writing and selling a first novel?
Oh boy, I learned a lot, and I've described this as the greatest learning experience of my life. Also a great spiritual experience, just in that I learned a lot of life lessons. Humility is a necessary virtue for anybody who wants to get their book published. First of all, you got to deal with all that rejection and learn not to take it personally. And one of the things I told myself I was going to do was I wasn't going to obsess over the rejections. You know, you ask somebody to take you on as an agent or to publish your book as a publisher, and if they say no, they say no, and you go on to the next one. You don't write back and say, well, why are you saying no? Or, you know, it really is good. You should take a look at it. Or you don't even take time to think about those things in your head. You just go on. And I always said, when I'll find the right publisher when the time comes, and it will be the right publisher. I just don't know who that is yet. So just let those disappointments bounce off you. That said, I did experience some moments where I was starting to feel a little depressed about this, starting to wonder if I really would ever sell it. I bounced back from those quite quickly within a day or two, and the way I did that was just by getting out there again and looking for publishers. I always would have, I'd query a number at the same time. I'd always have another possibility. I guess I always had hope, and I think hope is also a real virtue in all of this, that you don't totally lose hope if it's out there to one or two places, and there's always that chance that might be the one. So we already mentioned persistence, that old saying that it's 99% inspiration and 1% perspiration. For me, that is absolutely true. For all the inspiration that went into first writing this book, getting it sold was a whole lot of work. And work, of course, I'm glad I did now that I'm on this end of it. But I don't give up. Stay focused. Those were the things I learned, and I learned to learn from other people as well. My agent helped me with editing the book, part of a writer's group that gave me input. And in order to do that, you have to be a humble person. Don't go at this like, oh, I've written the world's greatest book and it should get published right away. And you learn your lessons along the way. And then when it happens, it's all that much greater. Yeah.
Wow. So you got your novel out. What are your current and future writing plans? What's next for you?
This took so much energy getting this book sold that unfortunately for a while there I was letting my writing slip, and I don't recommend that at all. In fact, I've often heard it said, if you can't sell your first book, just you can keep trying, but get at writing a second book. Don't let it prevent you from being a writer. I can't say that I did so well at that. I did get a little obsessed with selling this book and let some of my writing projects slip. Right now I'm working on some short stories, and I'm keeping in mind that this novel began as a short story, so who knows where these are going to go. I've had a number of people ask me, am I going to write a sequel? Because this book is, because it's set in a certain place and has some certain characters that are interesting, wondering if I'm going to do more, with that. And I am working on that. The short stories I'm writing are set in Dustin, Pennsylvania, or somewhere nearby. I'm also doing some work on some nonfiction essays. I've reconnected with my writing group, and so they'll keep me going because I got to write something and have them look at it. And I'm excited now to get back at actually writing some stuff.
That's great. So what I want to do is open it up for questions. I have some more questions for you, but I want to make sure that our participants who are sitting quietly and peacefully listening have an opportunity to ask you questions. So I've opened up the line. You're no longer muted. If anybody would like to ask questions of Harold, this is a great opportunity. And if nobody wants to ask questions, I have questions, so you don't have to worry. So, any questions?
Well, I do. I have one. I've been in a situation where I could not really write for a few years, and some semblance of his struggle of trying to write while selling. And I just wondered, how did he get it within him just to get back up to it?
Great question.
Yeah.
Harold?
Yeah, that is a good question. You know that saying, just do it? Sometimes you just got to make yourself get back at it. And I think, you know, the challenge for me was I worked so hard at this book. I mean, I got it about as perfect as I felt I could get it. And that a lot of work, a lot of editing went into that. But then when you go back to the drawing board, you know, the first draft is never that good. And and so I will, you know, look at it and go, well, I'll never write like that book was. But I just have to tell myself it's a process. It takes a while, but you're not going to get anywhere unless you get it down on paper. And even if it's not exactly what you want, I find in my writing that I sometimes have to write a few pages before I actually get into where I really want to be. So I don't know if there's any magic formula other than to just kind of make yourself do it and not be overly critical of yourself. If it doesn't come out the way you want it to, you know, maybe just put it aside for a little bit and then come back to it. Usually when I do that, I actually find out that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually some stuff there that I can use.
I will not lie. I have had that. I'll pick up a short story that I've written, and I'm like, wow, wait, this is really good. Who wrote this?
Yeah,
and then, wait a minute, it's me. Hold on a second.
Yeah, it becomes something outside of yourself. I mean, it becomes the story, and I think when you get to that point, what I say is it's not about me anymore. It's about this story, and I want to make this story as good as I can. And, yeah. Well, good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great question. Others? Does anybody have a question for Harold?
No.
Anybody else have a question? So this is a good time just to get to my last question, which is, what are some of the things that you would say to beginning writers? What advice do you have for folks who are maybe, you know, starting a novel or a nonfiction book, or who have struggled with a novel or a nonfiction book, and even struggled with that one thing you talked about, that trying to move past the need for it to be perfect and move on and get it down on paper? So what advice do you have for us?
Yeah. I'd say, you know, you gotta get at it and stay focused on it. If you're really, there are a lot of wannabe writers out there. I mean, I had read somewhere that it says 70% of us want to write a book, but only a small percentage of those people even sit down to start it. And then of that percentage, very, very few will ever finish it. I think you have to make a decision to finish it. We all have those projects that we've started and they don't have to be writing projects, that for whatever reason we get distracted or sidetracked. You know, I told you, I had a lot of failures along the way. I didn't always meet my goals. It would have been easy to just say, oh, you know, I don't have it in me. I forgave myself when I did that, and because I really wanted to do this. So I'd say be kind to yourself. A lot of writers are so harsh on themselves, on their writing, on you know, it doesn't come out the way they want it to. It's taking longer than they thought. I would also say, you know, seek out the help of others. Be part of a writing group. Seek out coaches like Rochelle, who really have some expertise and can also encourage you, can kind of keep you on track. Seek help from online resources. I mean, the internet is such a great place to go. So if you're stuck, I come back to that whole, you know, humility being a virtue. Don't let it get you down. Believe in yourself and believe in your book. And I know that sounds a little cliched, but you know what? Nobody else is going to care about your book as much as you do. And, you know, your friends will say, oh, you're writing a book. Oh, you know, they'll ask you about it every so often. But they don't have the investment in it that you do. You're the only one who can ultimately finish that book.
That's great. So, do you have like maybe one final nugget to leave us with, so that when we're really discouraged later today, when we're looking at our computer feeling like we can't write worth anything, that we can keep going?
Yeah, that old Winston Churchill quote comes to mind, never, ever, ever, ever give up. You know, you can get sidetracked. You can end up not doing it the way you want to do it, but don't ever, ever, ever give up. Don't give up on your dream of being a writer. Don't give up on your works. Sometimes you need to put them aside and then come back to them, or, you know, do something else for a while, but don't give up on that dream of being a writer.
That's great. Well, thank you, Harold, so much for being here today.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to talk about all this.
Great. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this has been the May Right Now Mastermind class. If you're a member of the Right Now Mastermind group, you're going to be getting later this week an email with a link to the blog post where I talk a lot about the resources Harold mentioned today. And there's also an opportunity for you to win a copy of his book. So if you can go there and leave a comment, you may be able to get a free copy of his book in the mail. So thanks so much. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye-bye.